Good afternoon and welcome to this pre-Christmas episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Mall in Columbia with my co-host, Dennis Lane. Joining us today is Katie Essing, the general manager of the Mall in Columbia, which, by the way, happens to be the sponsor of the show. But as always, we first like to take a look at some of the news making the headlines this week. Dennis, I'm feeling like there's a lot of stuff out there this week. What you got?
We got a lot of stories. It was actually kind of hard to figure out which ones we were going to focus on.
We had to duke it out over lunch. Which ones we're going to do.
It got a little ugly there, but I think we came up with some good ones. And
your black eye feeling all right there?
It's feeling much better. I'll put a little steak on there, and we're doing good. You know, Columbia Association, one of my favorite ones to beat up on. They just give us so much. They give us so much stuff to talk about.
You couldn't write the stuff.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And of course, the first thing I like in the news this week was the Hobbits Glen Clubhouse. Now, Hobbits Glen Clubhouse goes back to the early years of Columbia. It was built, back in probably the late '60s, and it needs an upgrade. It's never really quite been a great clubhouse. It was kind of a temporary kind of deal when they first put it up, and so it finally, and arguably, Hobbits Glen is one of the nice golf courses in the county. It's certainly nice as one in Columbia. So it's time. And so the CA goes out.
Are there any other golf courses in Columbia?
Yeah, the Allview.
Oh, there's that one.
Fairway Hills.
That's right,
yeah,
Fairway Hills.
Yeah. So they go out and they get this consultant, Century Engineering, to do four designs, and they present them to the community. And nobody thought about the golfers.
What about them?
You got a golf clubhouse, and nobody talked to the golfers. So the golfers looked at all the... I'll just quote Sarah Toth's article in the Howard County Times. Golfers at the meeting complained that none of the options presented or catered enough to the golfers or the community, especially regarding the banquet hall. Something about golfers don't like walking through a wedding to get to their locker rooms.
And I imagine brides don't like golfers walking through their wedding receptions either.
Well, you know, one of the golfers suggested the golfers' language can get colorful. Well, I've been to some weddings where the language gets colorful, too. But
you know what strikes me about this story is, you know, we live in a community of, as we call them, wackos. And, you know, for a long period of time, there were a lot of people in this community that they thought they should design or they should determine how Columbia should be redesigned and redeveloped
The armchair planners.
Right. So, yeah. You know, it's apropos that non-golfers would design a golf club.
Absolutely.
When, you know, we have all these people in town deciding how GGP or Rouse's predecessor should redevelop Columbia.
It just amazes me. Here they have a golf clubhouse, and nobody talked to the golfers. And then they were surprised they didn't like any of our plans. Duh. But in their infinite wisdom, the board members, which is, you know, some of the Columbia wackos sit on the board of directors of the Columbia Association, they also think the golfers should be paying more for their memberships to the office. You know, we're going to give you a clubhouse that doesn't give you anything you need, but we want you to pay more for the privilege.
And you can't determine what you want in your clubhouse.
Yeah, no. So,
moving on.
We have another CA story.
So, you know, we've talked before about the dredging. The CA is right now in the process of dredging all their lakes. They've already, almost completed Lake Elkhorn.
Yeah.
And but before they could even get it finished up, the company that is doing the dredging for the Columbia Association has filed a $1 million lawsuit against the Columbia Association.
Yeah, they want more money.
Yeah, they claim that the amount of mud that's being sucked off the bottom of the 37-acre lake isn't what CA told them it would be. There's more mud than they said. Do you find that interesting that there's more mud at the bottom of the lake?
Yeah, more material, they called it, I think, in one of the articles.
I got it right here. Mud has been sucked off the bottom. Sediment, right?
Sediment, right. Well, here's my thing about that, though. I'm reading the same story, and I'm going, you know, we have three lakes that need to be dredged, and Elkhorn was the first, and now I think they're starting in Lake Kennemuckundy, and then Wild Lake will be follow beyond. They have a different company doing each lake.
Makes perfect sense to me.
You know, there's a lot of mobilization that has to occur to do dredging.
This way, each member of the board was able to designate their person. It's just the equitable way we do things.
You know, geez, the gang that couldn't shoot straight. They just continue to amaze how they can waste the lean payers' money in Columbia.
You know, so this next story kind of struck me as interesting. You know, this country is built on diversity. It's built on people coming together from different ethnic backgrounds.
We're
made up of immigrants. So this, anyway, this story talks about
the
fact
the world.
That for the first time, the percentage of white students attending Howard County schools fell below 50%. White students just 10 years ago made up 70% of the student population.
We're an endangered species.
It's unbelievable. What are we going to do? So what's interesting about this is that they're making such a to-do out of the ethnic diversity. And in fact, they're talking about how teachers are now having to go through cultural proficient training so they can make sure that they can better respond to the changes and better interact in a positive way with students from different ethnic backgrounds.
They had a lot of that when you were in school, didn't they?
Absolutely. You know what? When I came to this country in the late 60s, and I had an accent for a number of years because English was not my first language. I got picked on in third grade because I talked weird. My mom dressed me weird. You know what? There was no one there to look out for me. I had to figure it out on my own.
Oh, Paul.
I know.
And look how you turned out.
Let's not go there.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's only to be said for that training. But, you know, I think it's now that the white students make up 48.6% of all students, and the combined minorities, though, that's the other thing. So, you know, this is kind of a non-story because certainly white students are still dominate the system. It's just if you put all the other groups together in one group, then you do, then they are the majority. But again, why are we worried about the race? Why do we focus so much on this racial stuff? It drives me crazy.
Well, I think the funniest part of the article for me actually came from a quote from Sherman Howell. And for those that don't know, Sherman Howell is the vice president of the African American Coalition here in Howard County. And he suggested, quote, "It's crucial to have a black member on the school board. The only black member, Patricia Gordon, did not run for re-election, and more minority teachers in the classroom. So should we hold a seat on the Board of Ed for Brian Meshkin and for one African-American individual? I mean, is that what he's asking for?
Well, you know, and then where do you stop? You know, then do we have, you know, because Asians now are creeping up on, black students make up 20% of the student population, but the Asian Asian population is now like 16%.
Up from 9.9% just 10 years ago, and the Hispanic population as well. It's gone from 2 to 8.3.
So then do we have a seat for Hispanics? Come on.
Move on.
One of the nicest things about in the article, though, and I think this is probably the most interesting statistic, is that multiracial students make up 6.2% of the school system's enrollment. And that's what we really need to do. Where it doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Big Ten. Crime. Now we go to the crime desk. Paul, top news in the crime desk. We have another model citizen is suing the Howard County Police Department because he was hit in the mouth by a police officer. Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty bad. You know, he was handcuffed, the cop hit him in the mouth. Not fair. However, first of all, happened 2 years ago. This incident happened 2 years ago.
You know, the economy's kind of tanked the last 2 years, so he's probably lost his job. He's probably looking for a way to get some money.
Well, and the reason why the cop punched him was the guy had been arrested. First of all, his girlfriend called the police, or his police girlfriend, because he had assaulted her. When the police arrived on the scene, he runs away. When they finally get him in the car, he's kicking and he's fighting, he's yelling at him, he's yelling profanities at him.
He got popped.
And I guess he used whatever, a free limb, a forearm or something, to whack the cop. And the cop popped him in the mouth. Ambulance arrived on the scene. Injury was declared minor. End of story. Pleads guilty. He pled guilty. He admitted he did it.
How much money does he want?
$500,000.
And then there's that.
But I love, though, that his attorney is, you got to hand his attorney. He says, there are many factors that a jury may not like. The fact that he assaulted a woman, the fact that he was verbally abusive to the police officers. But that's been my contention all along, that if you're a police officer and you're going to punch somebody because they say something rude to you, then you need to get a new job because that's going to happen with alarming frequency. Yeah, I know everybody that tries to take a swing at a cop when they get arrested. But to me, it's mostly yes, sir, no, sir. Right?
All right, my favorite story of the day actually comes from the criminal department as well. So apparently a former Wild Lake woman pleaded guilty to manslaughter about 15 years ago she fatally knifed her boyfriend right in the heart. Now, he had been abusive. He had a history of making some bad choices in life and had been abusive to her. And she finally had enough, and she pulled out a knife and she stabbed him right in the heart and called 911 and, in fact, said, "I just killed my boyfriend by stabbing him in the heart." So, you know, fortunately for her, the judge at the time, Judge Sweeney, was very understanding. And after going back and forth, she ended up pleading guilty to manslaughter, and he gave her 6 months in jail. At that point, she had already served her time. So actually, after trial, he basically said, you're free to go. I understand.
Right.
So here we are 15 years later.
6 months for killing somebody.
6 months. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You got to take somebody out. It's a pretty good deal. Here we are 15 years later. She comes back and wants a retrial. Now, you'd think, why in the world would she want a retrial?
She wants a do-over.
She wants a do-over. Well, apparently, in 2007, she received a notice from the Department of Homeland Security letting her know that she was not allowed to travel abroad and letting her, which she needs to do apparently for her profession. She has a consulting business that requires travel. And that it has impacted her ability to run her business. And she wants a retrial because she says that if she had known that 15 years ago...
I wouldn't have stabbed him.
I wouldn't have pled guilty.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right. I would have taken 20 years in jail and taken my chances, right? And I just find it amazing. You don't get a do-over 15 years later because you didn't know something then that you should have known. The laws change.
Would that it were so. How many things would you like to do over?
What an idealist I am.
Well... And on, moving from the crime desk, we'll move to our guest.
To happy holidays. Or should I say Merry Christmas?
Happy holidays. Yeah, really.
Blah, let's, blah, blah.
Let's not go there. But we are in a very festive location today.
We are.
Our new home. And with us is the house mother of our new home. Katie Essing, the general manager of the mall. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for being here at the mall.
We appreciate the opportunity to be here. And by the way, the place looks great. You got very festive, and you've got new plants surrounding us here. Was this all about us?
We tried. As soon as Dave asked for you to be here, we tried to spruce the place up.
Well, gee, thanks.
Thank you.
Know, and getting here today, it was a little challenging.
Mm, I mean, yeah.
You know, we were starting the show 2 hours late because we had to park. I had to park at Howard Community College and walk over.
Did you hitchhike? Or...
Parking a little bit challenging around here.
You know, these last few days before the holiday, it does get really crunched out in the parking lot. But there's a few little tricks. There are some lots that don't get used by many people.
Which ones are those?
Over between Lord & Taylor and JCPenney's. It's called Maple. Almost never used, so you can usually find a spot there.
Okay.
There's another one over by Macy's called Pine that you can usually find a spot in. And we just started valet. So if you ever have troubles, you got some options
valet
there.
Valet parking.
So your parking lots all have names.
They do.
That's special. I like that.
Does anybody know that besides you?
Well, you can actually see the leaf shape, and that helps you remember that it's maple or oak. Or
apparently didn't help us.
Gosh, I've been coming to the mall for I don't know how many years.
Now, the overflow lots that are over on the other side, those have been historically open over by the restaurants and
you're
LL
smiling.
Bean.
Something.
Why are they closed this
those
year?
Those are now Howard Hughes lots.
Ah.
So as part of our company's recent change.
They took the lots away.
Interesting.
So,
little tension?
No.
Okay.
Nope. So those lots are now gone, but we did add the valet to help compensate. It's about 200 spaces. So.
Okay. So since you brought it up, why don't we go there? So
yeah.
GGP was the successor to the Rouse Company. The Rouse Company, as everyone knows, developed Columbia, was the owner of the mall and much of the land that surrounds the mall.
Right.
GGP went through a bankruptcy this last year, and as a result of that bankruptcy, split out into two companies.
Mm-hmm.
GGP owns the mall.
Correct.
And the Howard Hughes Corporation, such a fine name. HHC, by the way.
Yeah, HHC.
Owns a lot of the surrounding land.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about that split. What impact did that have on the mall and your management of the mall?
Besides taking away the temporary parking lots.
Which is kind of important.
I mean, that's actually one of the only big changes. You know, we still partner together. I work really closely with Barb Nicholas over at Howard Hughes, and we communicate often so that we're partnering together. But the day-to-day has not changed. It's exactly the same as it was before, just new ownership and just trying to communicate a little more since we're two separate companies now.
So the people that you had historically dealt with at GGP Corporate, those are still the same people.
Correct.
They didn't go off to Howard Hughes, and so it's
The people that I worked with, a few did. I work with Barb Nicholas closely and people on her team, so she's now with Howard Hughes, but we still communicate very closely.
So, and I imagine there's a great deal of coordination that will need to occur as town centers redevelop.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, I started to think about that. You know, it's amazing when you stop to think about it. The mall is really the centerpiece of the whole town center redevelopment. So you know, will that be directed by you as Paul at Marl Management, or will there be a GGP development team out of Chicago that'll follow up on that?
Yes, there will be GGP folks some that are here, that we still have a regional office. Okay. So some folks there and then some in Chicago. So I'll be part of it, but it'll be led by people much smarter than me in the development teams.
Give yourself some credit. Come on.
is that regional office in Columbia? Or?
It is. It's over across the street now, and I believe they're going to be relocating as part of another change with the okay. Howard Hughes.
So tell us a little bit about what's it like in your shoes leading up to the holidays. Tell us some of the exciting things that you've got going on, and what's it been like this year?
Well, holidays is what it's all about. When you're in retail and in the mall world, this is the
Super
most
Bowl.
Fun time. It is. It's the Super Bowl. So we're now in the last few days, so it's very busy. The retailers are reporting it's been a very strong season so
good,
far, which
good.
Is really encouraging. So
compared to last year, I suppose.
Yeah, and last year, we actually, this weekend that we're coming on to, we lost last year. Because of the big snowstorm, so we lost Saturday and
True,
Sunday. So
that's right.
It is a bonus. When you're a retailer, you come up against your your last year numbers.
Sure.
So everyone is very happy today because big increase is expected for the weekend. So.
Now, Katie, in the hierarchy of GGP Mall, GGP owns 200
yep.
malls across the country. How does the mall in Columbia rank?
In the top 10.
In the top 10 of those, really? Wow.
Yep.
And is that a result of your management, or is that a result
yes.
of the fact that Howard County is somewhat insulated from perhaps some of the recession that's taken
well,
place?
Well, aside from me. Yeah, no, this is obviously a fantastic county. The demographics here are so strong, and that's attracted really great retailers. And the retailers tell us that they're top performing amongst their sister stores in other places. So, yeah, it has a lot to do with Howard County.
Is there actually a reporting mechanism where they share that data with you? And,
yes.
Okay.
So every month we get to see their sales, and then a lot of it is just talking to the managers and seeing how they're doing.
Got it. Kind of anecdotal
yeah.
discussions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Katie, were you at another mall before you came to Columbia?
Yes. I was at two malls in Missouri, Columbia Mall in Columbia, Missouri.
You were actually in Columbia before you came to Columbia.
I only stay with Columbia. So
yeah.
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina.
So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into this line of work?
You know, you just kind of land in retail and you never get out, you know. And in college, I was in Missouri, Sam Walton's hometown, and I was a Walton scholar. So you do retail in that.
You were a Walton scholar.
Really? I was, yes. So
okay.
Sam Walton got me hooked on retail, and I started out with May Company, which is now Macy's. Mm-hmm. And after doing that for several years, got into the mall side. So I've been doing this now for 10 years, almost 11.
Wow.
And you like it?
I love it. Yeah, it's actually so much fun. Where else can you walk around the mall several times a day and that's your job?
So do you like to shop?
Well, actually, no. That's a lie. You never take your wallet. Leave the wallet away as you do your walks.
Well, I would think as you walk through the mall, though, you'd have probably credits and all the little lines of credit set up at all the stores, right?
Yeah.
Here comes Katie. Let's be accommodating.
But at the same time, you're actually sort of like a mayor of a small town.
Yeah, a little bit. And not always is it things that they like to hear from me. You know, we have very strict guidelines on what
Put
their stores
sign
look
down
like.
Or...
Yeah, the signage. So they're not always happy to see us when we come around. But we do try to keep everyone at a very high standard.
Now, I know, unfortunately, for you, there's been some news about a crime.
Yes.
Yeah, back to the crime desk.
Back to the crime desk.
I was hoping you wouldn't go
Can
there.
You give us that little beep, beep, beep again?
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, the good news is that crime is small in Howard County. So
it is, yes.
When there is crime, it's news. Because,
right.
Because, you know, if this had happened in Baltimore City at Mondawmin Mall, I don't think anybody would think twice about it.
Right.
So it's we're bringing it up, but at the same time, there's a silver lining in all this is that we don't have crime.
Well, that's a really good point. And this was very isolated. It happened with a lot of people in the middle of the day, times that you would not expect it to.
Really? It happened in the middle of the day.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very busy crowd, you know, like this. So, you know, it was very isolated. But it does make you think, and I thought the police did a good job in helping remind people of, you know, this is a time of year. As always, you should be extra careful. You know, look around your surroundings. You know, walk with a group if you can. And
but you also, this place is pretty well monitored. I mean,
yeah.
Were you able to capture what happened on camera? Do you have some?
She can't discuss.
I mean, it would seem like anybody would have to be a fool to try something around here because you have a command center, right?
We do. We have a really state-of-the-art camera system that over it's the inside of the mall and the outside of the mall.
The mall is watching.
Are we being watched right now?
Yeah, certainly.
You better watch out. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. And the Howard County Police are also in the news. They have some canine patrols working with you?
We do. That is a new addition. Our canine, his name is Bruno, and we added him right around Thanksgiving. And he is this fantastic German Shepherd that is great with kids and families.
Where's
and people,
Bruno right now?
We share him amongst five of our other malls in this Baltimore area. Okay. So he'll be back later this week. But he's been a great addition. He's very visible. Kids love him. He has trading cards and interacts with the public, but he also is very trained, which gives us an extra layer to our security program.
Now, when I think of police dogs, I think of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the basis for which he's a new addition to the mall?
It's part of that, and it's part of just adding very visible. And you know, when a dog barks, it gets people's attention, and it's much different than when one of our public safety officers is trying to raise his voice. But a dog barking, a German Shepherd, really gets people's attention. So it's definitely been. He hasn't had to bark here yet, but
right.
I had a demonstration.
Can you get him to bark on demand?
Well, I can't, but yeah, his office.
that's the old joke about the dog barking. If the dog's barking at the back door and your wife is shouting at the front door, who do you let in first? The dog will stop barking when you let him in. Had to go there.
Then there's that. So you've got the Ball in the Mall coming up.
Yes.
So we've been talking about that a little bit, but I'd love to hear your perspective on it. Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on.
We're really excited. Next year is our 40th anniversary, which is...
Next August, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's a huge milestone. So this event, Ball in the Mall, it has been talked about in the community often because the last one was in the 20th. So it's been 20 years since we had this event where, you know, it was in the mall. So this year's going to be New Year's Eve, and it benefits the Columbia Foundation, which we're really glad to partner with. But the night's going to be really fun. It's going to be catered dinner by Lenwood's. We're going to have bands. We're going to have a DJ. So it should be a really nice evening.
Do you see there's something that you would like to see going down the road to as an annual event? Or
not annual. We think it'd be a very milestone-type event, okay. So maybe the 50th right. type thing. We haven't gotten there yet, but it's probably going to be on really large
What
events.
Kind of response are you getting to the tickets so far?
So far, it's been a little bit slower. We're hoping it picks up as people realize, you know, this is only a couple weeks away, because a lot of people talk about it, but ticket sales aren't quite as robust as we had hoped. So.
You know what? Howard County is notorious for having people sign up late for everything, so hang in there. You'll be fine.
Looking forward, as we kind of get to the end here, what's in store next year for the mall besides the ball and the ball in the mall on the New Year's Day?
And it is our 40th next year, so there's going to be a year of special events, especially that week of August that actually goes up against the anniversary. So we're excited about that piece.
Any new stores on the horizon that
you know we do have a few new stores are adding. We're very lucky. This mall is nearly 100% occupied, so sometimes it's actually trying to find the space to add that new retailer. Yeah. But we do probably have 6 or 7 new retailers that we're going to be adding in. So.
High-profile ones you can share, or not yet?
Not yet. Oh, have me back in a month or so, maybe I can tell you.
We'll do that.
We'll wait till they're signed.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we very much appreciate you coming by today.
Pleasure.
Thank you again
so
for having
us. I'm so glad you guys are here.
Yep. And we are glad to hear that all the retailers in the mall is doing so well this holiday season.
Yep,
so.
You can go visit them later when you wrap up.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
One of the news stories we didn't cover in our news segment of the show today was the big news story in Howard County this week was the sudden firing of Greg Hamm, who was the person who shepherded the Columbia redevelopment legislation through the county council for the past 4 or 5 years. And fortunately, we were able to get Courtney Watson, councilperson for District 1, to come in and chat with us for our 2-minute segment today and kind of give us your reactions to this big news.
Well, it is big news, and I think we were all taken back by it. Fortunately, the leadership, Howard Hughes, came in and met with each council member and the county executive the very next day.
Now, when you said the leadership, so CEO? And
the CEO, David Weinreb, and the development director from California were here, and they talked with each of us about their view of downtown Columbia. They felt that this was a move that would serve downtown Columbia plan well in the long run.
Okay.
So, you know, I think what struck me about this whole thing was I think Greg Hamm was a great guy on the front end of this whole project, and I think he was a champion of the legislation that needed to get through the county council to facilitate this development. And I think everyone thought somewhere deep down inside that maybe he wouldn't be the guy that would actually execute upon the development plan. But I think this happened a little bit earlier than a lot of people thought, particularly since there's some legislation that still needs to get through the county council. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, I think we all felt that way. Greg Hamm was a consensus builder, and he worked well with all constituencies of the downtown plan. So we certainly weren't ready to let him go. However, he was backed by a team of professionals of about 8 people who worked behind the scenes on every detail of the Columbia Downtown Plan. And we do have a lot of confidence in that team.
And that team is still in place.
That team is still in place. They will be there on Monday night for the public hearing on the design guidelines and the sign legislation. And one of those people has been designated the spokesperson for Howard Hughes in Columbia until the new person is appointed.
Now, can you speak a little bit to the design guidelines? People might not understand what that is. That's the architectural blueprint, or
it is the architectural blueprint, exactly. It's what the buildings we want the buildings to look like, the general parameters of the design of the buildings in downtown Columbia.
So the county council, your colleagues, the county executive, a lot of people in this community worked hard the last several years to get us where we've gotten. Are you still comfortable that all of that work is going to play out and everything that's been done to date? We're not taking any steps back with this firing.
No, we're not. We're not. We have to give Howard Hughes the benefit of the doubt, and that they will be putting professionals on the ground. This is clearly this mission and this vision of Columbia is clearly a priority for them. And they're business people. I believe they'll get the job done. But we are in a strong position to manage the outcome because the county has several approval processes that they have to go through. And so we'll be watching.
Courtney, one of the criticisms that some of the so-called community activists were lobbying at this plan was it wasn't enforceable. Is this, in fact, a good example of how it is enforceable?
Absolutely. If we had not had this plan in place and this had happened, I think we would have been in a much weaker position to manage the outcome of an entire master plan for Columbia.
So there's some vindication in this.
There is a vindication, and it's something most of us knew, that we needed a plan in place, regardless of who the owner of the property was, regardless of who was hired to manage the development process. And we have our plan, and it's the community's plan. And so we are elected, and we will make sure that we execute our responsibilities to make sure it happens.
Great.
Courtney, we thank you for coming by, giving us your quick feedback on this, and we look forward to hearing more about it and speaking with you and your colleagues about it next year.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Courtney. Merry Christmas. That about wraps up yet another episode of Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scalney, we'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on radio, and to General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show again today. We'll be back again on December 31st with a special New Year's resolution show. We'll make some suggestions for some of our Hoco Locos and have a little fun with the whole concept of making these annual commitments that often last less than a month. We hope you'll join us.